At your Bibles, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 13. That's where we're at today. Pastor Ben wanted to continue in this section. We've been in Hebrews for a while. And so before he left on Thursday, he told me that he had every intention on being back. But it didn't happen. And so he told me, if I don't get back, I want you to stay in the same section. You're going to pick up right where you left off. And that's really what's going to happen today. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, I preached a sermon. It was really kind of an encompassing of Hebrews chapter 13 on whether or not your life is out of focus. And then I left one verse out because that was the verse that Ben had a message already ready for, and he gave that last week. And I heard it was epic, and I need to watch listen to the video. And Ben was teasing me a little bit about the subject matter from last week. And so we're through that, we're through my section, and we're going to be looking down in verse 10 to start today. But just really briefly, if you guys remember, we looked at several things the last time I spoke. We looked at several topics and ideas inside of those first few verses. And then on Sunday night, if you weren't there, we talked about how we need to remember those who are in charge of us, who speak the word of God. Verse 7, whose faith is worth following, consider the outcome of their conduct. And then we cap that Sunday night message off looking at this idea that Jesus Christ is the same today and forever. No matter where you go in life, He's there. The Bible says that every promise that God has issued, He's kept. And so we can rely on that. I mean, verse 8 is kind of an interesting transition into verse 9. And we're going to be looking at this next section. And I don't know about you guys, but it's very difficult to get really excited talking about something that we don't do anymore. Okay? If you go on a big trip, I just recently got back from a snowboarding trip with Mrs. Walter's husband, Todd. He's the one that roped me into all this crazy stuff we do now. And we spent a couple days on a snowmobile and then 4 days on a snowboard. And I could talk to you about that trip. But no one wants to listen to me today talk about the first time I rode a bike. Because we all know how to ride a bike now. And part of the early part of this message is going to be looking back at a system that we just simply don't use now. The Jewish Christians that Paul's writing to here in Hebrews chapter 13 are intimately acquainted with this system of sacrifice and what they've got to do to prepare themselves and to wash themselves. But that's not a system that we look at very often. We don't ever do that. We don't sacrifice. We don't wash ourselves. We don't prepare ourselves like that before we come into this tabernacle. We don't have a single place to go as a nation to make a sacrifice, whether it's once a month or once a year. So the first part of this is going to be a little bit difficult to wade through until we get to the second section, but I don't want us to lose what's here because this is really important information in the first of this message that leads to the response that we're going to get to at the end of this. If you'll stand, we're going to read a few verses this morning out of Hebrews chapter 13. I think eventually, maybe by the end of the year, we'll get out of the book of Hebrews. We've been in it for a while. We're going to look at a few verses today. I don't know what Ben's going to cover next week because he didn't actually tell me how many verses to cover. Almost did the rest of the chapter just so that whatever he preaches for the next month, we've already been through, it'd probably be pretty aggravating to him, but I didn't do that. Only took a few verses. Look at verse 9. Do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been, what is it, Mandy? Occupied. Yeah, little Bo today messed me all up in first service. He said the wrong way to pronounce a word. That happened one other time when I was 16, first time I ever spoke in public. I was down at Berean Baptist Church, and Aaron Maxwell from Friendship kept saying the wrong thing. So I thought he was trying to help me. I kept saying what he was saying, and it was the wrong thing. People were roaring, laughing. I was totally embarrassed. Bo did it to me this morning. That's occupied. Okay, occupied. All right, verse 10. We have an altar. Did I skip a verse? Okay, perfect. Verse 10. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside of the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You can be seated. We're going to start in verse 9. I want you to leave your Bibles open because it's going to be, we're going to go through 3 points here at the first part of the message, and I don't want you to lose track. We've got to get through these 3 points to see the response that Paul gives us in the last part of this message. So turn back to verse 9. Let's repeat it. Let's look back into this section. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have no profit, those who have been occupied with them. Paul starts this section in Hebrews chapter 13 with a transition. And the transition is for them to look back at the system. Listen, the Jewish religion has a lot of rituals. And if you look back in the book of Leviticus, it was specific, even how they washed their hands and what clothes they wore, what they would stick on their faces, what day they could walk, how many steps they could take. It was very specific. It was full of rituals. And Paul is writing to a group of Jews that are Christians. And they understand these rituals that they have had to go through. They've been trained in. They understand. Rituals don't rescue. The first point of transition that Paul makes here in chapter 13 is that rituals don't rescue. Listen, they are familiar with this system of going to the temple and sacrificing. Paul's not saying that that was incorrect for them to do. He's getting ready to lay out that it's insufficient. Listen, rituals can't rescue. Religious activity cannot free you from sin, nor can it make you a better person. Simply coming and filling a seat today is not going to set you free, and it's not going to make you a better person. Only God's Word, the Spirit of God inside of us, learning, teaching, sanctifying us, can bring us to the point of response, a proper response in the gospel to save us and then to sanctify us. Grace is the only thing that can do that. Listen, it's freely given to those who trust and depend on Him. God's power is the only thing that can save and sanctify. When we trust in His power, He saves us. And when we depend on Him, it's His power that does the work of sanctification. It's all Him. He's the one that saves. He's the one that sanctifies. And as we respond to Him in obedience, He works in us. Paul changes gears here in verse 9 to remind his Jewish Christians that rituals can't rescue. Listen, guys, it's really important that we're here today. Not just because Paul admonished Timothy not to neglect the public reading of the Scriptures, but this is God's plan to reach the world. Listen, there is no other plan. There's no plan B. And I know some people sit at home rejecting the idea of the church, but the church is God's idea. It's the plan that He came up with to reach the world, and there is no other plan. But if we're not careful, this can become ritualistic. Not in the sacrificial sense of the Jews, but just what we do. How many songs did we sing before we took up an offering? And then when do we do the special? It's always at the same spot. It becomes, if we're not careful, as ritualistic as the Jews did, marching to the temple once a month or once a year to do a sacrifice. Listen, rituals don't rescue people. And we can come as Christians into a place like this and fill a seat our whole lives and never work any rescue missions. Because rituals don't rescue. This is the transition. I'm going to bring you through it. There's the first point. We're going to go through 3 points and then a response to these that Paul gives. Look at verse 10. Read it. Read it with me. Listen, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. Listen, altars can't provide what only He can. Paul is writing to this group of Jewish followers, but they're going through difficult times. I'm sure many of them are wondering, as maybe some of us, Is it worth it to live out a public life of faith? While these Jewish Christians are responding to the gospel, their friends are still in the old system of sacrifice. And what they do is they bring an animal to the temple and they sacrifice it. Part of that animal is given to the priests. The rest of it they get to take home and roast for their friends, their family, themselves. It's a wonderful time. While these Christians, these early Jewish Christians, are suffering because of following Christ, their friends are enjoying, I don't know how to say this, a steak dinner. And they're wondering, is it worth it? While their friends were going to the temple and going through the process, they're enduring difficulty because of their faith in Jesus. Listen, listen, in the midst of our struggle, pain, and maybe even persecution, He provides more than just something for our stomachs. He provides strength for our souls. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 lays out the time where Paul talked about something that was bothering him. Listen to these verses. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the relations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, listen, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Look back at verse 10. For we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. This is the point Paul's making. It's not that the system wasn't good. It's just insufficient. And he says the altar that you're used to going to, we have an altar that far exceeds that. No matter where you go in life, what venture you take, what pain you suffer, what difficult you endure, no matter what persecution you might face by standing in this time and speaking truth, the Bible says that we have an advocate. We have an altar that's greater than the old system that was insufficient. And He will be with you and He will strengthen you. He will encourage you because, listen, altars can't provide what only He can. That's the point He's making. So now we've got 2 things in preparation. Listen. Rituals don't rescue, and altars can't provide what only He can. I realize, guys, listen, this is foreign to us. This isn't something we do. We don't have to sacrifice. We don't have to wash. We don't change our clothes. We don't go to the tabernacle. This is foreign to us, but it's not really. If we're not careful, we look to rituals, and we look to other things in our lives to provide for us. Paul is reminding these Jewish Christians that even though the old system was set up by God, it was insufficient. Altars can't provide what only He can. You can retreat. You can retreat into the pain that's in your life, or you can learn from it. You can reject the difficulties of this life, or you can embrace them. Look at Paul says in that passage I just read where he embraced this thorn of the flesh, this difficulties. We're always wanting to put difficulties out of our lives. He embraced those difficulties. Listen, you can allow God to work in you through it, or you can harden your heart toward Him. But make no mistake, His promise stands firm, His power unchallenged, and His help unmatched. You cannot be comfortable all the time. But listen, you can and will be comforted if you know and love Him. The old system was great, but it was insufficient. So He turns the attention of His audience to the one who can. Now let's look at point number 3. Rituals don't rescue. Altars can't provide what only He can. And now let's look at verse 11 and 12. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside of the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. All right, one more history lesson out of Leviticus chapter 16. All right, Paul is taking his Jewish Christians to remembering about the once a year time that the high priest has to sacrifice. Listen, I know this is foreign to us, but hang with me just for a moment. Once a year, the nation of Israel would bring in one bull and two goats. That bull and two goats was to be a sacrifice for the nation of Israel. They would take one of the goats and the bull, and they would cut their throats, and they would collect the blood off of those two animals, and they would take the carcasses of those two animals outside of the city and burn them. This is very significant. The other sacrifices, remember I told you they took them home and ate them, not this one. The other goat was to be, they had to do special things to it. They had to put their hands on its head, and then they sent it out into the wild. They called it the scapegoat in Leviticus chapter 16. He turns the attention of these Jewish believers to this once a year celebration of the high priest, and this is the comment I believe he wants to get from that. Sacrifices aren't sufficient. Once the high priest slit the throat, took those blood, the carcasses of those two animals were taken outside of the city. But this sacrifice on the altar, listen, could only cover their sins for a year. They would have to repeat this the next year. The system is insufficient. It's not that it was bad. He encouraged the whole process. If you read Leviticus chapter 16, even talks about how they're to wash their hands and put different clothes on after the sacrifice. It was specific, but it was insufficient. On the other hand, the blood of Christ shed outside of the city as well purifies from all sin, both unintentional and intentional. Listen, his blood sanctifies. What was insufficient, even for the high priest, is now sufficient in Christ. No religion in the world can make something out of nothing. A God had to put together what we see. And even though this system that God has given us is insufficient, it's not sufficient enough to create. Listen, no religion can purify all sin. Even the system that God designed for the Old Testament Christians, it was only once a year. They had to come back the next year and redo it. No religion can make saints out of sinners. It doesn't matter how long we sit in this place. It's not going to turn a sinner into a saint. Only God can do that. And no religion can transform a life. If you've been transformed by the power of God, it's not because you fill a seat in this building. It's because you have looked into God's word and allowed it to work in your life, and you've allowed God to sanctify you through that process, not just being saved, but up to this point. I've told you I've come a long ways. I've come so far I forgot how old I am. I'm 42, not 41. I sat down and Shannon told me that. I'm like doing the math, 76. Yeah, 42. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And what? Sinners plunge beneath what? Its flow. Lose what? All their guilty sins. We don't have to come back in once a year and get resaved. We don't have to go through the sanctification process. It's ongoing. Listen, that old system was simply insufficient. But we serve a God that can clear the debt forever. The Bible says that he forgets our sin like the east is from the west. If you travel north long enough, you're going to end up traveling south. It's just the way the globe's built. But if you travel east, you'll always travel east as far as the east is from the west. There's no repeat. When we ask God to forgive us, he forgets it. He wipes it away. Even though the old system was good, it was insufficient. So he's getting ready to turn our attention towards God. If you want forgiveness of sin, don't turn towards religion. Trust in Jesus, who can both save and sanctify. Because rituals don't rescue. Altars don't provide what only he can. And sacrifices aren't sufficient. This may come to a shock to some of us that are in the room, but it doesn't matter how good you are, you're never going to be good enough. that sacrifice of even the effort of a good life is not enough. We have to turn our attention to him. So look at this beautiful transition in verse 13. Read it. Look at here. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Listen to this verse. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, listen, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Verse 13, in response to this old system not being sufficient, he says, turn towards him and bear his reproach. Here we are in 2019. A lot's changed since I was a little boy in America. We know all too well the reproach that comes to those who dare to live out the scriptures. It wasn't just too long ago that the majority of Americans would have found themselves in a place of worship. Now they find themselves other places. It's becoming a lot more inconvenient to stand on the truth. And if we're not careful, sometimes we shy away from the responsibility to speak the truth. The scriptures, to publicly identify with Jesus, to unashamedly confess Jesus as our Lord. The truth will never be popular with those who live in darkness. So Christians, let's bear up his reproach. Let's shine. Let's share the truth. Let's love, let's serve, let's pray, and let's live as ones who aren't ashamed of the gospel. Look at verse 14. He carries past this point. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We may endure hardship here for a while, but our reward is waiting. I told you guys I went snowboarding. I got back in Tuesday night at 10 o'clock. I left Bozeman, Montana at 6 o'clock on Tuesday morning and got to St. Louis at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night, wiped out. I got ready on Wednesday morning for my lesson, and I presented the lesson in Awana with Craig's help. He's such a good teacher. I got home that night, and on the way out with the bus kids, I got these two little kids in my hands, little bitty kids, and I walked down the aisle. When I come out of the sanctuary into the foyer, I see these little white footprints on the carpet from the steps over to where all these little cubbies are sitting. I'm like, what is going on? Miss Betty had got sand down, and they had played with it downstairs. And instead of bringing them up here and trashing all these pews, they put them back there so it wouldn't be so hard on Shirley to clean. But I saw those little white footprints. When I got out and got in the van, I knew what I had to do Thursday morning. Got to get here before Shirley does. I want to try and vacuum some of that up. Why? You can have messes or you can have no people, but you can't have both. I can tell you this, if you have ministry, there's going to be messes. And sometimes those messes aren't your own doing, but they still need to be cleaned up. When I came back in that morning, I went downstairs and got the vacuum cleaner and plugged it in the outlet that's right there by the front door. I started vacuuming the floor, and I saw something on the old pulpit that we use as a welcome desk now. It caught my attention. It was scribbled on by a little kid. I love little kids. They say the stupidest things. So I lean over to look at it, and guess what I see? I see a note that was designed to hurt Jacob Licklider. I don't know who wrote it. You could tell it was a little kid. And you know what little kids do? They write stuff they don't mean, and they say stuff that isn't true. And you could tell that whoever wrote this wrote it trying to hurt Jacob. So I turned the vacuum sweeper off and I read the whole thing. It was almost comical. Some of the stuff they said about Jake is so stupid, so juvenile. And I did what you should do with stuff like that. I folded it in half and I threw it in the trash. That's what you do with stuff like that. I mean, this week you might end up in a situation where somebody just walks past you and says, oh, yeah, oh, I heard you just got to fold it up and throw it in the trash. Oh, you don't want to say, you don't want to do this, you don't want to do, whatever it is. You just fold it up and you put it in the trash. These words that were wrote to Jacob were hurtful. And you know what I would have done? if I'd have taken a picture of that and sent it to his dad? You know what dad's reaction would have been? He'd have got hurt. Parents, is that not the most miserable thing in life? Whether you're present or not, is to come across something like that that's designed to hurt your kid. I remember when we packed up everything and went to Canyon City, Colorado. I walked into school, nobody knew me, and I come home for weeks crying. Mom comforted me best she could. This reproach. If I'd have sent that to Craig, he'd have had the same response that all of us did. We'd have got mad. I tell you, I've almost strangled some kids with my bare hands. I've thought bad thoughts. Somebody say something about one of my kids. That's the reaction we want. But listen, our Heavenly Father had to endure the same thing. He had to watch his son go through this kind of torture, this reproach. Remember what they said about him? Remember what they did to him? Remember how they bound him and who spit on him? Those were those that he created. Imagine what that would have been like. You know what it's like, parents. You've been through it. In this same reproach, the scriptures encourage us to bear it. Listen, Jacob, I don't care what they say about you. Live for Christ. Bear the reproach. When you kids go to school and you're different than the rest of them, listen, bear the reproach. When you're at work and others are doing something or saying something and they turn to you, bear the reproach. The scripture encourages us in light of the old system that's not sufficient. He says, turn to Christ and bear the reproach. Wear it as a badge of honor. God knows your pain, your shame, the ridicule that you have to endure, but it's only temporary. So go ahead and bear his reproach. Make him famous. Publicly profess your faith in him. One day soon, he'll honor you forever for it. Listen, we cannot retreat. You cannot retreat. You must speak the truth. Take advantage of the opportunities that you now have in the electronic age. Bear the reproach. Speak for God. Speak truth. Stand up. Bear the reproach. Wear it as a badge of honor. I've watched some of the most vile comments I've ever seen against another person levied at one of our deacons in our church simply because he was willing to speak the truth. Listen, bear the reproach. Take it. Speak truth. Lift him up. Make him famous. What comes, comes. In light of the old system that's insufficient, he says, turn towards him and bear his reproach. Secondly, look at verse 15. We're almost done. Therefore, by him, let us, listen, continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Listen, because the old system is insufficient, continually worship him. Remember the system? Once a month they'd go in, they'd bring some of it home. Once a year, the high priest. He said, no, don't wait. We don't have to wait. He says, because the old system was insufficient, we have the ability to worship every day, every point, every time we want. He says, continually worship him, good or bad, hard or easy, no matter what, recognize that he is good, even when life is not. This isn't easy. That's why he says, this sacrifice of praise. Let us willingly, even when in the most difficult times of life, when we are weary and worn, or simply in our sinfulness, simply don't want to, from our lips, give thanks to his name. Because the old system is insufficient. I love this. He says, turn your attention to him and continually worship him. No matter where you're at, what station you're in life right now, whether young or old, whether you're living in a difficult time or a good time, let's lift his name up. Let's bear the reproach. Let's worship our King. He is a good King. And then this last verse, 16, finishes our message for today. What an interesting ending. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God will be pleased. Mark chapter 10, verse 42. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So refreshing water is. It's also refreshing that he used as an example something that's free. He said to the little kid, don't forget to give a cup of cold water. And when you do it, listen, he's well pleased. It's so easy to live a selfish life. The sacrifice that pleases God is one that gives. And I love the fact that he uses something that's free. All of us have something to give this week to those around us. It may not monetarily cost us anything. It's the obedience to the giving. There was a king, and this king designed a race. And he said for the reward, Jacob, there was going to be a bag of gold. So all of the men in the kingdom assembled for the race. And the king laid out the course for the race. It was to leave the castle and go down the road around his kingdom and back into the castle. He said, the race is evident. We're ready to start. And the winner of the race gets what? A bag of gold. And those young men run out of that place and they started their race. And one by one they filed in front of the king. Some of them fast and some of them slow. They all got in front of the king. And out of the back come one last. He got in front of the king and he said, I'm sorry it took me so long, king. He raised a bloody hand. He said, on the way in the race, there was a big pile of rocks in the road. And it took me a while to move that pile of rocks and I hurt myself. But in the bottom of that pile of rocks was this bag of gold. And the king said, this man won the race. It's not how fast we run. It's whether or not we get the obstacles out of the way for the people that follow us. Don't ever forget in life, the one who cares is the one he's most pleased with. Listen, you may not finish this race of life first. And you may not even be a good runner. You may not have any talent at all. But all of us can move a pile of rocks for someone else. Would you be willing this week, in light of the old system being insufficient, to turn towards him this week and bear his reproach, speak the truth, publicly proclaim your faith in Christ? Would you not, because the old system is insufficient, would you not turn and continually worship him this week? Find opportunities to lift his name up. We don't have to wait till we get back to church next week. We can do it any moment we want. And in light of the old system being insufficient, let's recommit ourselves this week to worshiping our God at every point. And in light of the old system being insufficient, where they were forced to care for others in specific ways because of the law, let's not forget to care for others. If you want to leave the ritual of religion behind and come to a better altar, the cross of Christ, bear his reproach. Continually worship him and care for others. Listen, let's recommit ourselves to our public profession of faith. Let's not hide in the shadows. Let's not be ashamed of the gospel. To continually worship him this week, even when things aren't going well in our lives. And boy, don't we need a reminder to care for others. You got 7 days between this Sunday and next. There's a whole lot of worshiping and praying and serving and caring and helping and speaking truth that needs to happen because the old system is insufficient. So let's turn our attention towards him this week. Let's recommit ourselves. If you're hiding, if you're neglecting to speak the truth where you're at, stand up this week and bear his reproach. The scripture says he'll bless you for it. I think when Paul talked to Timothy about not neglecting the public reading of scriptures, I think it's because he knows how lazy we are in worship. Many of us wait all the way till we get to the next Sunday before we ever lift our tongues to worship. And it shouldn't be that way. Listen, the old system was insufficient. We don't have to wait. So let's recommit ourselves this week. Find opportunities to worship God through the week. And don't forget, along the way, let's move a few rocks for the people that will follow. Lord, thank you today for this time. You know the challenge it was to get this ready. I just thank you so much the way that your word speaks to us. If we'll just simply spend time in it, you will speak to us. God, give us a desire this week to speak your truth, even in difficult circumstances. Maybe hardship would come. Help us to stand, to bear the reproach of the one that was taken out of the city for us. God, this week, give us an opportunity to turn our attention towards you. Find us worshiping this week, wherever we go. And Lord God, help us to move some rocks this week. Help us to care for others. Help us to give a cup of cool water to someone along the way. Lord, bless this time of invitation. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll stand, we're going to use this invitation. I'd like to come and recommit yourself. Maybe where you're at in the pew. Let's turn our attention to